Thank you so much, choir. I'm reading this morning from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 5, verses 17 through 20. Paul tells us, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come in. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. As though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. A number of years ago, I went back to Virginia because of a death in the family. At that time, I had not been back home in, I guess, more than 8 years, and had little or no contact with that small remnant of my family that was still living in Virginia during that time. When we met at the funeral home, we greeted each other and smiled and hugged. We told each other how good it was to see one another. They thanked me for coming. I suspect they may have been a little bit surprised to see me. At the cemetery, I saw people that I had been in high school with, others I had worked with at the power company when I came out of the service. Some of those people I had not seen in 30 years or more. Some of them I recognized. Others I did not until they told me their names. Some of them looked so much heavier. And some of them looked so much older. And it was amazing to me how much they had changed when I hadn't changed at all, at least in my own mind. After the service, we went to the home of one of my cousins and we talked and ate and we talked and laughed and we told stories about one another. And we caught up on what had been happening in our lives and in our families over the years. And it was good to be back. Not so much back in Virginia, but back with family. To reconnect. To experience that sense of belonging that family can give you. And before I left, we promised each other that we were going to stay in touch this time. And I thought about that driving back to North Carolina. And I was thinking, I hope we do stay in touch. Because if we didn't, if we didn't stay connected, we couldn't share in the joy of family and even the sorrow. And we couldn't give and receive the love and support and that sense of belonging that family provides. Now, I cannot help but wonder at this point if that speaks to you, to anyone here. And perhaps in telling you this, I've touched perhaps on a sensitive spot in someone's life, perhaps even a sore spot. Perhaps I'm talking to someone here this morning who needs to reconnect with his or her family. Perhaps you've drifted away from one another. You may or may not remember the reason why, or who called who, or who visited who the last time and who didn't, or who did what or who said what that upset someone, or who neglected whom. All you know is that there is distance between you now. And deep down inside, you know that it's not what you want. And I can assure you that it's not what God wants. And I can assure you this morning that God would have you put aside whatever the issues are that separate you and have you reconnect with one another. And I would even go on and suggest to you that it is your Christian responsibility to take the lead in this matter. As a follower of Christ, you are called to be a minister of reconciliation, not only out there in the world, but in your relationship with others, even in your own family. And together with that, perhaps I'm talking with a husband and wife this morning who have somehow become disconnected. And there is division and tension in your relationship and even some resentment. And sometimes you look at that husband, you look at that wife, and you're thinking, I hardly know him, or I hardly know her anymore. That's not the person I married at all. And if only he would change. If only she would change. Then things would be different between us. If only he or she would be more attentive, more loving, more caring, etc. Now, there are no quick fixes to most things in life. And that's true in a marriage relationship, but may I suggest one thing? That instead of focusing on the faults and the failures of that husband, that wife, try focusing on yourself. And start asking yourself, what have I done that has brought us to this point in our marriage? What is my part in all of this? Because you know it's not one or the other. And if you'll ask that question, you'll have some answers. Then I might suggest that you promise yourself before God, Lord, here are some changes that I will make, regardless of what he does, regardless of what she does. Here are some things that I promise you I will do to make things better, to bring us together, and to keep us together. To be sure, what I'm suggesting here this morning is not the end of the matter, but it can be the beginning of reconnecting, of a deeper, richer relationship. Perhaps I'm talking to someone this morning who needs to reconnect with the church. What a need that is in the day and age in which we live. Religious pollster George Barna tells us that church attendance has declined 9 percentage points since 1991. 73% of Americans claim to be Christians, yet only 38% attend church on any regular basis. Something's wrong here. Now, I know that the church in general, and our church in particular, is not a perfect institution. We don't always say or do the right thing, and sometimes people get their feelings hurt, or they get discouraged, or they feel left out or unappreciated. But let's recognize that sometimes it's not the church. It's the individual himself, herself. But whatever the reason, people drift away. At one time, they were involved in the life of the church. They were making a contribution to the life and ministry of the church, but no more. And I submit to you that, like family, the church can give you a sense of belonging, a place of love and support and encouragement in the Christian life and in life in general. And I would say to anyone who has drifted away, we do care about you. Not only for what you can do for the church, but what the church can do for you and what the church can be with you in it. And if the church is not what you want it to be, then work with us. Help us change what needs changing to make our church all that it can be under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. But when people drift away, when you drift away or walk away, we can't help you. You can't help us. And we both lose. And the cause of Christ is hindered in the process. And together with that, perhaps I'm talking to someone this morning and you become disconnected from another member of the body of Christ. The church is very much like a family. And sometimes, as in any family, we get out of sorts with one another. I suppose that's to be expected from time to time. But in some churches, some people allow their disagreements to fester, creating tension and division. Not only in their relationship, but in the fellowship in general. And I have no doubt that grieves the heart of God. Jim Cimbala, in his book, Fresh Power, reminds us that Jesus said, any kingdom divided against itself, even Satan's, is doomed. If the devil were in a civil war and had dissension in his ranks, his end would eventually come. But it was fairly obvious in Jesus' day that Satan was in business. And here today, 2,000 years later, he's still in business and doing quite well. Meanwhile, we have countless local churches divided against themselves, yet thinking God can somehow bless them. They don't understand that division quickly grieves the gentle Holy Spirit and undermines every work of grace. It doesn't matter whether the pastor preaches orthodox doctrine straight from the Bible. It doesn't matter whether he is a man of prayer. Unless division, strife, slander, and fighting are conquered, all his labor is in vain. Division causes a treadmill effect. We are busy expending energy to move ahead, but we go nowhere in the end. At the same time, we beckon the Spirit to come through our praying and preaching, our slander, backbiting, division, yell at Him, go away. This can persist for decades with congregations floating aimlessly dead in the water. Dead spiritually, I would add. Dead in its mission for Christ. Cimbala went on to say that division in the fellowship begins with division in the hearts of the people that gave Satan the opportunity to work his evil. Did you hear that? Division, dissension is Satan's work. And when we allow it to take hold in the fellowship, we are doing Satan's bidding. Wow. Aren't you glad that's not us? Surely that's not us. But just in case it ever becomes us, Cimbala points the way out. And he tells us it's at the throne of grace. Here's how he said it. We need congregations to meet together in prayer with the same burden Paul expressed in Romans 15, saying, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he added, we must cry out to the Holy Spirit to come and do this among us. One thing more. Perhaps I'm speaking to someone this morning who needs to reconnect with God. And I want you to know that this has implications for everything else I've said up to this point, but some people do indeed need to reconnect with God. It may be that closeness you once knew is no longer there. It's been replaced by distance and a sense of separation. It may be that you just got busy with things that in and of themselves are not bad at all. Your work, your family, your hobby, your leisure activities. Or perhaps there are things in your life that you cannot justify before God. Things, you know, that God does not approve of. But you haven't been ready to give them up. And as a result, your relationship with God has suffered, and you sense within you a void. This feeling that something is missing, something is lacking. Of being unfulfilled in your life. Now, I would remind you that the God who loves you and gave His Son to save you, made you for Himself. And you will never find completeness and wholeness apart from fellowship with Him. And I would remind you that on God's part, the door has never been closed. He hasn't moved away from you. And if there is distance and separation in your relationship with God, you are the one who has moved, not God. And it's not what God wants. On the contrary, He wants that relationship you once had with Him, not because He needs it, but because you do, to live your life to the fullest. To be sure, I'm not promising you that life is going to be any easier if you live your life in fellowship and obedience to God. But I can promise you that you'll have a companion along life's way, someone who will love you and who can steady you and strengthen you, someone who will stand by you no matter what, and someone who will help you face whatever life brings your way, if you'll let Him back in. One of the runners in the 1992 Summer Olympics was a young man by the name of Derek Redmond. Redmond was a British record holder in the 400-meter race. He missed the 1988 Summer Olympics because of injuries. After 5 operations on his Achilles tendon and working hard to get back in shape, he made the 1992 British Olympic team. And he had all of his hopes pinned on the 400-meter race. But halfway through the semifinal heat, something popped in his right leg. And Redmond fell to the ground, writhing in pain, while the others finished the race. And for a moment, he knelt on that track as though in prayer. And then he struggled to his feet, looking toward the finish line, and with his face contorted in pain, he slowly began hopping, dragging his useless leg behind him. And soon, everyone in the stadium was standing and clapping and cheering him on. And as they did, a man came out of the stands, began moving down toward the field, and he brushed aside those officials who tried to stop him, and the man said, "That's my son." And he made his way across the track to Redmond's side. The two spoke briefly, and then the father put his arm around his son, and the pair walked slowly toward the finish line. And I submit to you what a wonderful picture that is of your heavenly Father. And what He wants to be in your life. And I sometimes think that God looks at us in our struggles and our loneliness and our separation and our sin, and He said, "That's my son. That's my daughter. How I wish they would let me come to them. How I wish they would let me back into their lives once again. And I suspect that for some of you here this morning, even now, he stands at the door and he knocks and he knocks. Does that speak to you? Is there anyone here this morning who needs to open their hearts and reconnect with the Lord? In the words of Paul, I pray for you. Indeed, I implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Our hymn of invitation, 307, just as I am, I invite you to come. Come and recommit your life. Come and unite with His church. Come and accept Him as Savior as we stand and as we sing.